This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And explain why.
Yeah, I'm aware of it. We really haven't had very many discussions about it. I'm sure we will over the next few weeks as we head into the owners' meetings. But I'm aware that we did, but really haven't had many discussions about it.
What are your thoughts on the play?
Sorry.
What are your thoughts on the play?
I know we're not very successful against it. I know that. To be honest with you, I have not put much thought into it. It's been around for a while. We've used it in different fashions with our tight end. Again, I think there'll be a lot of discussions about it. I got to kind of look at some of the information as far as injury rates, things like that, to see. But we'll see.
Brian Kunikis, the GM there of the Green Bay Packers, speaking at the Combine as the Packers were the team.
Yeah, he's trying to clean it up now.
Yeah, he's like, I really haven't thought about it. Well, your franchise is the one apparently that's trying to get this thing banned. So it sounds like you have thought about it a little bit. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, 215-592-9494. Coming up 11:30, Elliot, live from the Combine in Indianapolis. So today, at around 2, Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni are both set to speak, I believe, separately, one after the other. The Eagles will be at the podium. Every team that goes speaks. Gutekunst obviously speaking now or this morning with the Packers. So we'll air the Howie Roseman, Nick Sirianni press conferences, their first pressers since becoming Super Bowl champions.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I mean, the last time we heard them speak, you know, Howie was bleeding for this city and it was all that kind of
getting
stuff.
Getting busted in the head with a beer bottle, or beer can.
Probably 100%,
man.
A little more buttoned up today, but that's okay. We get the beginning of the offseason out in Indianapolis. We'll bring that to you live. Elliot at 11:30. We'll get to a Clearwater check-in. We're starting today, though, with the Tush Push stuff. And really, would it be a big deal if it is banned here? It is a Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation, PIDentalCenter.com. So we got close to a 50-50 split so far in the poll. Yes, 46%. No, 54% in terms of if this is a big deal. I don't think it's a huge deal if it is banned. They'll figure out a way to score those touchdowns and get those first downs. Kyle and Hugh think it is. Hugh, we'll get back to the phones in a second. A very big deal, obviously, though, is free agency, right? Who they keep, who they let go.
Yeah.
So, Hugh, there's four big ones. The Eagles have four big free agents as we head towards, 2 weeks from tomorrow?
2 weeks.
I think we're less than 2 weeks of legal tampering, but 2 weeks from tomorrow will be the first day of the new league year. So, Hugh, of the four, all right, I'm going to throw the four names at you. We're going to play a little game here, Hugh. Ready? You pick two. Pick the two.
Zach Bond, Mekhi Becton.
All right. So the four names are Josh Sweat, Mekhi Becton.
My bad,
Milton,
Joe.
I like the eagerness. All right. Sweat, Becton, Milton Williams, Zach Bond. If you could only have two, you would take?
Zach Bond, Mekhi Becton.
Why? All right. So I think a lot of people, and I'll give you mine in a second, but I think a lot of people are going to agree with you on Bond. I think actually most people would start with him. Why Becton?
Because I was told many moons ago, I remember when I was in Atlanta, I got a chance to talk to Thomas Dimitroff, and we were talking about offensive linemen. And a lot of times you see offensive linemen go other places and allow the teams to pay them. I remember a few years ago, Robert Gallery. Remember he got drafted by the Oakland Raiders?
Yep, high pick.
High pick.
Top two or three pick.
Didn't really work out. So teams are a little bit more leery about drafting offensive linemen high in the draft because of that. So a lot of teams, because they don't develop guys. And so they go out and they pick somebody else's guy. I think we did a good job of putting Mekhi Becton in a position where he was able to have success. You know, speaking of that, he was a guy that was considered a bust before he got here. Now he's a Super Bowl champion. So I think that you have him in a spot in a position right now where, you know, he's a good fit. And say, for instance, if Lane decides to retire, you have some guys in the pipeworks that have been here for a while that you can slide him out to tackle.
And he has a lot of experience.
And he has a lot of experience there. So I just look at that as it's easier and they play longer. You know, you look at the longevity in the NFL now of offensive linemen, they're good for 10 to 15 years, easy. The other guys, like Bond, the only reason I say Bond is because, and I can move on this one too because I just thought about something, but Bond is a guy who came in and he played extremely well. And, you know, he's probably going to be looking for a payday. I would like to keep him. But now that I workshopped it, I thought about it a little bit. If Bond decided to leave, because he might be in a position where he might want to try to hit the free market and get as much money as he possibly can.
I'm sure he would.
I don't have a problem with Jeremiah Trotter Jr. coming in there playing linebacker because Vic Fangio did say his future might be now.
He would. So here's my thing on why I think Bond. So Bond is number one for me. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you my two in a second. If N'Kobe was
healthy,
and that, I don't just mean that like now, I mean in general, then I could probably get by with...
You can rock with that.
N'Kobe and Trot Jr., right? Like, mm-hmm. and give that to Fangio to mold. I can't count on the health of N'Kobe, so like, am I going to start a season next year with Trotter and who? I mean, like, then... You know, 2 years ago, the Eagles had Kaiser White, and they had... what's his name? T.J. Edwards, right? And mm-hmm. then they let them both guac. And they tried to replace it with whatever they could find. I'm trying to remember, Cunningham was the one linebacker. It was the Morrow arrived here in the middle of the season. It was garbage. I mean, obviously, they thought that N'Kobe could be ready, and then he got banged up again. And it turned out to be a disaster for their season. I need more certainty of linebackers, so I got to have Bond number one. Hugh, my number two, though, is not Becton. I'm going Milton Williams. I think we kind of underrated how good Milton was this year. And then it like hit us like a ton of bricks in the Super Bowl. And like, oh my goodness, he's in the backfield every time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just look at the four free agents they have, the big ones. And I say, if these guys weren't Eagles, who do I think they would pursue the most in free agency, right? If they all came from a different team, who makes the most sense for the Eagles? And the guy I think about is Milton Williams. He's 26 years old. He's a pass-rushing interior defensive lineman. And you need someone next to Jalen Carter that can win one-on-ones because you're going to get a lot of one-on-ones because Carter's going to get double-teamed. I go Bond 1, Milton Williams 2. Those are my big two. So we're both okay letting Josh Sweat walk away? Neither of us
mentioned
him.
Josh about to get paid.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I was listening to the show last night, and Ashley was on, and Josh... I think Josh changed his agent.
Yeah, I went to Rosenhaus.
Oh, yeah, he about to get paid. I know Drew. Drew is my agent. And Drew talking money. Drew bought that dollar bill. How you think I got my ass in Jacksonville?
Drew. You blaming Drew?
I'm not mad. No, I'm not mad at Drew. Drew put a lot of money in my pocket, man. But, no, that's Drew's job. I understand when you're talking about Milt. But let me just drop this on you.
Hmm.
Before there was Milton Williams... There was Javon Hargrave. Remember him?
Of course.
He played extremely well here. Went out to San Fran and got paid.
So you're saying like the and then they had Fletcher. Now they have Jalen. So you're saying the guy next to the guy is going to do well?
Let me just say it like this. We've had dominant nose tackles in this 4-3 defense. We've had dominant guys in this three defense. The three techniques get paid because they get a chance to shine because they get the one-on-ones and they take full advantage of it. I would not be mad. Milt Williams is going to go out and take full advantage of the courtship that's about to happen for him. He's about to fly on private planes. Him and his family about to get taken out. Pop's going to be eating cordon bleu and all kind of meats wrapped in bacon and chilling. They're going to have a good old time. And he's a Super Bowl champion.
So
he about to get paid.
Yeah,
That's the bottom line.
I agree with that. At the locker cleanout day, he was wearing a Clutch Sports hoodie.
He about to get paid.
When you're wearing a Clutch Sports hoodie, you're not taking discounts.
You're right. You shouldn't.
Yesterday, NFL.com ranked their top 101 free agents. They had Milton Williams third overall. I do think he's going to get paid a lot of money.
Don Perignon.
Yeah, all that. Does that go with the cordon bleu?
Yeah, the cordon bleu and Don Perignon. I made somebody mad by saying that. Somebody's triggered.
This guy doesn't know what he's saying.
I'm going to have to be the one that gets the phone calls. Like, does you know that it's Don Perignon?
Trigger warning.
So, all right, I understand your point on Becton, and I understand that the guy next to Jalen Carter is going to get one-on-ones, and this is a deep defensive tackle draft class.
Oh, yeah, so you one of them young Thundercats, man.
But can I find another Becton?
Yes.
Jeff Stoutland is here. Am I going to pay $15 to $20 million a year for Mekhi Becton when they found him last year and nobody wanted him, and then Stoutland made him? Like, they're paying a lot of money at left tackle.
Got a good offensive line coach, man.
I know, but they're paying left tackle. They're paying left guard. They're going to play. I wouldn't be surprised they give – I think they could extend Juergens this offseason. They're going to pay center. They're paying right tackle. You going to pay everyone on the offensive line a lot of money?
Yes. When you look – here's the thing. When you look at the way a team is presently constructed, and you're talking about more bang for your buck, let's break it down. Let's talk about cars and performance pieces on your cars. You're gonna pay more for like turbochargers and fuel injectors and all the other stuff because they're slotted and rated for longevity.
Sure.
That's what your offensive players are. Because their longevity, they're going to play for a longer time, and they're going to be more durable for a longer time.
So you basically, you trust Becton's next 3 years versus Milton's?
Yes, and Milton is more like, he's more like air filters and exhaust pipes. No, seriously.
No, I like the analogy.
You see what I'm saying? Because it's going to give you like 15 to 20 horsepower, but the core units in your vehicle, those are the ones that's going to give you the real bang for your buck. Because Milton, like, and I'm not trying to take anything away from Milton Williams because he had a hell of a season. But Jalen Carter is more like those integral pieces. He's more like the integral pieces of your vehicle.
He makes it go.
Yeah. Milt is more like air filter. You can get another air filter. You get another air filter in the draft because that's something that's going to probably give you like 15, 20 horsepower.
And it is a big defensive tackle draft. I mean, I could see them. Yeah. I could see Milton leaving and then drafting one in the first or second round, and he plays next to him, and it probably works. The other thing to with this conversation, 215-592-9494, we're given our top two. Are the Eagles actually going to value Bond the way we do? I mean, they don't pay linebackers. I know we said this about the running back, and then they paid Saquon. I need to see Bond get a lot of money here before I'm fully sold. They're actually going to bring him back. I want him back, but we'll see in the next 2 weeks.
Oh, no. You let him test the market. He ain't coming back.
Someone might offer him.
That filet mignon. Give him that filet mignon.
You have that and the cordon bleu, or is that too much? Is that too much?
You get all that.
I have to imagine when you went on free agency trips, you didn't skimp on the meals.
No, it was more because me and my wife went at the time. And I remember they had a jet to fly to Jacksonville. I said, ooh, I'm living high on the hog with this one. Little did I know.
Does she do anything for us?
Year later.
Little did I know.
So I kind of think the Vic Fangio presence changes the way that they view Zach Bond in free agency. They didn't do that thing where they just invested everything in the defensive line going into the season. They invested more in the back seven this time. I mean, they had the two draft picks, Dejean and Quinion. And, you know, while Bond wasn't a huge investment, I think Vic Fangio might view it in a way that that's sort of the key to the engine on the defense. Now, there's Jalen Carter, who's the most important player because of what he does up front. But Zach Bond, he's the green dot guy when N'Kobe's down. We know that N'Kobe's not very reliable injury-wise. Mm-hmm. I think if Vic Fangio had his way, Bond would be their number one priority.
Well, you can also throw this in. It didn't work, but they did try to also bring in Devin White. They did throw some more money
at
linebackers last
that.
Year. Like, so. they tried to upgrade the position.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, Bond and Williams are my two because I think they're the two best players. I'll just put it that way.
So I was with you But I'm starting to come around on the Becton thing. Like, I understand that we have Jeff Stoutland, and he's like a guru, but there does have to be something there for him to work with. Like, we've seen, like, Andre Dillard was a failure here. Tyler Steen, he's a third-round pick, but there's a noticeable drop-off when he goes in the games mm-hmm. for Mekhi Becton. Mm-hmm. Mekhi Becton came out very talented. He started as a tackle. So, and that's actually another part of it, too. Like, every offseason now, the reality of Lane Johnson's career ending becomes more and more relevant. So, Mekhi Becton, a guy who came out as a tackle, you could swing him out, and then it makes that money that you're paying him worth it.
Well, yeah, because then you're protecting the tackle position, too. And he might be the next tackle. 215-592-9494. All right, pick two out of the four. The four big free agents for the Eagles. The offseason in earnest starts now with the combine. We have Josh Sweat, Mekhi Becton, Milton Williams, Zach Bond. If the Eagles could keep two, who do you go with? I'm with Bond and Williams. Hugh and Kyle are with Bond and Becton. So we're all saying goodbye to Josh Sweat here as a group.
Josh about to get paid.
Yeah, man. And I do think they're more ready for that. Like, think about their drafts last couple of years. They have Nolan Smith, and they also have Jalix Hunt. I mean, it seems like they've been preparing here for the future at the edge. 215-592-9494. And, of course, the tush push. If it's banned, is it a big deal for the future of the Eagles? David in Doylestown.
Dave.
Hey, David.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up, David?
What's going
on? The Green Bay kittens. I won't say the other word. It's just...
They're soft. I mean, they're soft.
It's soft. It's horrible. And I guarantee you, Green Bay isn't the only team on this, you know, run. It's a play we've mastered. We're just good. Everybody hates Philly. We won. And one thing I want to bring up about the tush push, how many seasons did we not win the Super Bowl with the tush push when it was more successful and we didn't win? And now we won? No, we won this year because we had animals on our team. Or, you know, the powers that be flipped the script. We got beef on that offensive line. Our defense was, like, phenomenal. It was our defense that won the Super Bowl. They shut Kansas City down. It wasn't the tush push. It's just ridiculous.
Well, David, it is. And you're right. Like, they won the Super Bowl this year. They didn't win it the year after that. The year before that, they didn't win. In 2022, it felt like more of their identity. They didn't win it then. I just feel like the NFL teams that are pushing for this, and David, good phone call. It's
ridiculous.
Yeah, I wouldn't. It's probably too far to say it's much ado about nothing. It is something, you know, in terms of the NFL thinking about it and teams pushing for it. But it's three plays on average a game that the Eagles run. Like, the fact that the Packers push for this, the fact that Raheem Morris is putting himself out there that he hates this. Again, Raheem Morris, the head coach of the Falcons this morning, said it should have been banned 3 years ago.
Yeah, he's a hater.
I think we're going to hear more of this the next couple days. It feels like teams are now emboldened to say, yep, you know what, count me in.
Yeah, I agree. It just feels like an easy lever for all these other teams to pull to put the Eagles back on their playing field. Like, just for a ridiculous example. If somebody came up with the idea that we can ban a Patrick Mahomes 60-yard or more pass, I think everybody would be down with that. Like, if they could easily make that move and do it.
But you can't, and it's stupid.
Of course not. No, I get it, and I think it's lame.
Stupid.
Like, just stop it. But at the same time, it's just an easy way for them to put them back on their playing field.
Well, to use your example, we think about him in highlights, but how many 60-yard touchdown passes a year does Mahomes have?
Right,
four?
Right, exactly. But you could take that away.
Right. And again, all of it is silly. I think the Eagles can overcome it, though, if we get there. Audrey's at South Philly. What's up, Audrey?
Hey, guys. How you doing tonight?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Audrey. What's up?
Hey, Hugh, I just want to give you a shout-out and say thank you for everything you did for the city, man.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm glad to hear you that you're in the city and you're on the radio, and I was so happy to get you back in 04 to make that run, dude. I'm really happy.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Here to do that.
Thank you.
Didn't you punch T.O. in the face in the locker room?
Thanks a lot, Kyle, for keeping it all in perspective.
Go ahead, Audrey.
I already told your producer what I think about it. Green Bay, and it ain't nice. It's the word you want to use, but you can't.
Mm-hmm. Female dog.
On mm-hmm. that, you know, just know what I said. It's the P word. Anyway, I think it's absolutely insane that they actually want to do this. Other teams have tried it. We're showing you exactly what we're doing, and you can't stop it.
They don't have a person.
We're showing you, and you still can't stop it. Everybody knows what's coming, and it does reverse field position. If they stop it, we go for it on our own 35 sometimes. If they stop it, they get the ball there. So if they can't stop it there, then that's too bad for them. That's too bad for any team that can't stop it.
Well, it is. I mean, again, it's not exactly like the most complicated thing in the world.
No, it ain't rocket science.
It's on tape. Yeah. They have a chance to see it, and no one's been able to do it. Audrey, good phone call. I think it is, again, it's silly by Green Bay. It's silly by the NFL teams. I think part of this is teams are jealous. They can't do it, and they can't stop it.
Yeah, I agree.
And they're just trying to take something away and knock the champions down a peg. This happens sometimes. But I look at it like this. If it's taken away, I will be against the ruling. But I still think the Eagles will find a way to get enough of those first downs that it's not going to appreciably change the team next year.
So you believe in Howie?
I believe in Howie. How about
Nick Sirianni?
Hugh is up next. Different Hugh than the one that said next to me. What's up, Hugh?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Hugh.
And Hugh, I must, thank you for holding our name down.
I try, man, every day.
Does Hugh do anything for us?
I mean, we run the rocks with Hugh Grant and Hugh Hefner.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we got a great company.
Yeah, Hughes are kind of going out. Yeah. What are you doing? Hold that torch, guys. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I want to make a comment about the brotherly shove and, the haters and everything. You got Green Bay and Raheem Morris. Historically speaking, in sports, if you can't beat them, you try to ban them. If you remember, or historically, Lou Alcindor, the basketball rule before he went to the NCAA.
Can't dunk.
They banned the dunk in 1967, and it wasn't repealed until 1976 when he was long out of college because they didn't want him to dominate. And I think that's what's going on right now. But I hope they're not successful, but if they are, I think with our O-line and Jeff Stoutland, the Eagles will adjust and we'll be okay. That's my comment.
Yeah, and Hugh, that's where I am. It's silly. That's a good comparison there, Hugh, and good phone call to the Lou Alcindor thing way back in the day. But Lou Alcindor figured it out. I pointed out earlier, when you go to illegal hand checking in basketball, the greatest defenders figured it out. If the Eagles were a middling team and this was their way to steal a game or steal a first down, then I'd be worried. But I'm not, because I think they'll find a different way to get those first downs. But it is annoying, Hugh. I mean, there's no other way to say it.
It's just some crybaby stuff. To me, it's some crybaby stuff, because I think the league is built on, and back in the day, when you talk about the game, the frozen tundra and all that other stuff, they highlighted the fact that everything was a physical confrontation, and it was your will and your physicality that dominated. Remember, who was the dude that used to do? Was it John Vicenda? Is that who I'm thinking about?
Yeah.
Who I'm thinking about? Yeah. That used to narrate the game?
Yeah, the autumn wind is a Raider.
Dog, I remember growing up and how they would slow-mo that stuff, and you would just see, just raw power.
Yeah.
Just dominating people. And the way he talked about it is just one man's will against another. That was bananas. And that's what the NFL is. So to take away this play, I think you're going to take away what the NFL is at its core.
Well, and it takes away, again, the two parts that make football so interesting to watch is it's half of it is the physicality, athleticism, the greatness of the individual players on a team with 11 on the field at the same time. The other part is the strategic element, not just designing the play, which the Eagles have designed it to a great extent, but also how to get to it. I don't think it's not a shock to hear when the Eagles talk about first and nine. You mentioned, Hugh, we had Greg Olsen on when we were at the Super Bowl. He mentioned sometimes he feels the Eagles call plays to get to the tush push.
Yeah, because it's easy money. Hey, we're going to call this play because it's going to put us in this position. And then we're going
to
score.
Yeah, you go from first, it's like a first and nine. You get those 9 yards and you almost know you're going to get the first down afterwards. And that's a powerful thing for the offense. If you lose that, it would be a challenge. I think the Eagles could overcome it. 215-592-9494. By the way, when Hugh called in and he said you guys are kind of going out of style, I looked it up. Top 1,000 boy names last year.
Hugh?
Yeah, you and Hugh, the other Hugh, 765 out of 1,000. So
that ain't bad.
Well, I mean, it's
That's
not.
That's pretty bad.
Kyle, you were at 416.
A lot better than Hugh.
Yeah, I was at 29.
Wait a minute, you mean okay, when you say 765, that means it's only... What?
Out of 1,000 baby names.
Oh, okay.
You're towards the bottom.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. I heard that wrong.
There's
Don't laugh at that, Kyle. Oh, common name, having ass.
Can you guess what number one was last year?
Bill. Saquon.
No.
Maybe George.
Maybe next. George?
No, no.
In 2024?
I'm trying to bounce back. I'm trying to bounce back from my math debacle.
Liam. Liam was the
Stop
most
popular.
Liam.
I was going to guess Mosh next.
Liam.
Mosh.
Liam and Noah were the top two most popular names last year. Just so there's going to be a lot of those kids.
Noah Douglas. No, it's not like I'm having no kid. I'm just.
Are you making an announcement on the show? More babies? Sorry. 215-592.
More babies with your old ass?
215-592-9494. Coming up, more of your phone calls and all of this after we head out to Indianapolis. We'll talk to Elliot Shore Parks, who is at the NFL Combine. He's bouncing around press conference to press conference, listening to what people are saying about the tush push. We'll get his take on this, the free agents. And the vibe out there in Indy as the offseason begins. Plus, do we think Elliott could score a touchdown on the tush push? He's famously before said he could gain a yard in an NFL game. That's about a yard. I wonder if Elliott thinks he can get
one. Tough yard.
It's a challenging yard. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We are finally getting the Jets due that we deserve.
Yeah, that's right. I'm talking Sharks. You really caused a ripple with that yesterday. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. Tush push, if they ban it, is it a big deal? I don't think so.
That'll work quickly there.
That was pretty quick, yeah. I mean, we've done dumber things. They could have turned around fast. They must have liked that one yesterday, Hugh. I mean, I think it was because many people thought yesterday, Hugh, that you really thought we could do the transplant with the shark meniscus. And again,
well, yeah, that's what people thought.
Well, yeah, they,
but
that's
we were
what they
talking
heard.
About the innovative shark cartilage, you know, trying to, you know, regenerate Joel Embiid's knee. And all that other good stuff. That's what we were trying to do.
Yeah, we were playing doctor yesterday on the show. We'll stop doing that now. All right, your phone calls and the tush push. Is it a big deal if it's banned? And, of course, pick two, the Eagles' big four free agents. The NFL offseason begins in earnest today with the combine. But in 2 weeks, we got the start of the new league year. Sweat, Becton, Williams, Bond. If you could pick two to keep, who would it be? All right, let's go out right now to the guest line. Out in Indianapolis, and he's bouncing around the combine. Howie and Nick are going to speak at 2 Eastern, and we have Elliot Shore Parks with us right now. Elliot, how is Indianapolis?
ESP!
It's not as fun as New Orleans, I guess I could put it that way. But it's definitely interesting. It's going to be a busy and important week for the Eagles here.
All right, Elliot, let's start with the story of the day off of yesterday, which is the Packers outed as the team that's trying to get this tush push banned. And I saw today you're bouncing around as different teams are speaking already. And Brian Gutekunst, we played that audio of him talking about it. He kind of danced around it. But then, Elliot, I thought it was interesting when you tweeted out what Raheem Morris said about it. Because now I'm wondering if Pandora's box is open and maybe some teams who didn't want to be the first one to say, hey, let's ban this, now that the Packers are the team that did it, maybe other teams feel emboldened. What are you feeling so far this morning?
Yeah, so first I'd say it's absurd we're still talking about this, right? Like, the fact we've circled back to the tush push, I mean, it's a play. Other teams try to run it. They don't run it as well. That just is what it is. And I'm guessing that's some variation of what you'll hear from the Eagles today, when I'm sure they'll be peppered about it during their availability. But in terms of the overall feeling I get here, yeah, there are definitely more teams than I expected that are anti-tush push. And I get why. Like, the Eagles are the best team in the NFL. It's a play they run. And it is easier to beat the Eagles if they don't have the tush push. That being said, I do not think it will get banned. I know that Raheem Morris came out and is against it. Obviously, the Packers are against it. And you're right. Maybe this is a bit of, like, now that someone was brave enough to say it, other people will step up. But I think if the tush push was going to be banned, it would have been banned already. I mean, this is not the first year of the play. It's not even the second year of the play. It's the third year. So I don't think it will be banned. But, yeah, I mean, there's definitely teams that aren't a fan of it here.
Elliot, let's go off the premise. Let's say it does happen. Like, the NFL gets enough votes, the Packers lead the charge, and they do ban it. Do you think it would be a big deal for the 2025 Eagles if the play wasn't allowed?
No, I don't. Because I also think if you look, like, how often does he really get it because he's pushed? I think most times he gets it because they get the push at the offensive line, and then obviously because of Jalen's ability, he gets it. So, no, I think they'll just run a quarterback sneak, and I think they'll still convert at a very high rate. So I think more it being banned would just be annoying for the team than it would be impactful of their ability to win.
All right, Elliot, let's look at the offseason to come, because that really starts today. You know, I heard you this morning with the morning show, and I think you framed it as this is looked at and talked about as a scouting combine, as a draft event. But really, it's the beginning of the offseason and the start of teams and agents and players all talking about numbers and free agency. So, Elliot, the big four, Mekhi Becton, Josh Sweat, Milton Williams, and Zach Bond, if you had to rank those, who would you put one and two? Like, how would you prioritize the free agents for the Eagles?
You're saying me, not the team,
you.
Correct?
Yeah, let's start with you, and then we'll go to your guests on the team.
Okay, so if I was doing it, I would have Milton Williams number one. I think Milton Williams checks every box you want from a free agent. Impactful position, he's young, he came up with the team, so he's already a part of the culture that they want there. But I also think an important thing with Milton Williams is he's one of the few free agents, I think, that you can argue his best football is ahead of him. I don't know if that's the truth with Josh Sweat. I don't know if that's the truth with Zach Bond, you know, and obviously good on the line. Like, I think that Milton's the only one. So number two for me, though, would probably still be, I would probably say Zach Bond. Obviously, Mekhi Becton, I think, is, you know, important. But Zach Bond, I think we saw last year how impactful a linebacker can be to the defense. And, you know, much like seeing the Saquon thing, for so many years, I came on the station and said, you know, you can find linebackers, you can find running backs. What you saw is if you have special players at those positions, they do make a huge impact. So I would probably go Milton Williams, Zach Bond, Mekhi Becton, and then Josh Sweat.
All right, how about the Eagles? If you had to guess how they're going to – because I think we've all, or almost everyone, has come to the consensus that Bond is either one or two in almost everyone's rankings. Like, the Eagles need to bring them that guy back. But, Elliot, it's not a position that they've spent on. And I know last year they kind of broke the mold with Saquon, so maybe they'll break the mold with Zach Bond. But let's go on the idea that his market gets pretty big and teams are bidding it up. Do you think the Eagles are going to spend on linebacker?
I do, yes. I think Zach Bond will be back. Now, obviously part of that you said in there is the assumption he'll make a lot of money. I do not think he is going to be a top 10 paid linebacker. I think if he is, it'll be mostly performative as opposed to like actual numbers. So I don't think he's going to get as much as everyone does. Maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe the market heats up, but I do not think he's going to get a lot of money. So for that reason, I think he will be back. Now, the other free agents are tough. Like, I think Milton Williams is going to get paid. I think Josh Sweat is going to get paid. Mekhi Becton's an interesting one, though, because Mekhi Becton is a little similar to Bond in the way that he only has 1 year of elite play. But Mekhi Becton's only 25 years old, which is crazy because I feel like he's been in the league for forever. But he's still very young. He plays guard, obviously. He has experience as tackle. So I think he could potentially get paid, too. But I just don't think Zach Bond is going to get the money everyone else does.
Elliot, now, with where you are and what's going on this week, how much do you think what kind of draft it is, what they see out there, how the feel they get, impacts free agency? And really, I'm thinking of that because I keep seeing that this is a good defensive tackle draft, right? There's a lot of them. There's starters there. Do you think that the Eagles put that into the equation for Milton, or is it almost a separate thing like, hey, this is our value on Milton. If we can afford him, we want to keep him. Or do you think it's like, hey, yeah, we like him, but we could get his replacement in the late April?
I definitely think that's part of it. I think that's the way you have to do it. I think that would be the case with every free agent too. Now, you are right. This is a very good defensive tackle draft class. Obviously, having just came from New Orleans, like, I have not dove completely into this year's prospects, but the first position I did look at was defensive tackle. And you just read and you watch like 4, 5, 6 deep into this class, and you say, yeah, this can be an impactful pass rusher. So that's the thing. Milton Williams' strength is pass rushing. The strength of this defensive tackle class is pass rushing. This is not a class of Jordan Davis's where it's run stopping nose tackles. The guys in this draft are good at getting after the quarterback. So I think that will absolutely factor into their decision. So I think it will impact Milton Williams.
Elliot Shore Parks with us live from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. He's out there covering it. All right, Elliot, Myles Garrett's going to be a big subject, and that might be the biggest subject out there in Indianapolis. What do you think the cost could end up being? Because it's always interesting. Like, do we all want him? Sure, he's a great player. He's going to the Hall of Fame one day. But the cost is everything in these kind of things. Elliot, if you had to guess right now, and maybe you have a strong guess, maybe not, but what's your guess on how much it might take to get him?
I think it's a first-round pick and then potentially plus. I think you're looking at a first and maybe like a third, or if you don't do the first, maybe you're looking at 2 seconds with some conditions that one could go up to a first. I think a big part of this is you say, what'll it cost? Well, a big part of that is financial, right? I mean, financially, he's going to be looking for a new deal when he's traded. So any team that acquires him is going to have to consider the fact that not only are you paying a first round, not only are you paying a first round pick, right, but you're also paying him, like, you know, a big time money. So I think you're looking at either a first and then maybe like a mid round pick or 2 seconds.
Elliot, last one for you. I think the most underrated thing going on in the NFL right now, and it could impact the Eagles, is the Matthew Stafford thing. Something's weird about that. You know, the Rams were the closest team to beating the Eagles in the postseason. They've got a lot of good young players, and yet they seem very willing to let Matthew Stafford find a new home. Elliot, what's your read on that? And then how much do you think could impact the Eagles? I mean, obviously it would change the Rams, but also I'm watching to see where he goes. I mean, if he ends up in Minnesota... Yeah. That's significant. I mean, if he ends up, you know, with the Giants, I don't think it's going to change the division, but it certainly adds, it's probably less of a layup, you know, just another two division games that are less of a layup. What do you think about the Stafford situation?
So I do think the reason this is happening is, you know, not to keep going back to this, but it's financial. Like, I'm sure Stafford wants a new deal, so he's out there seeing, will anybody pay him more, and if he likes that situation better. My guess is, after surveying, like, he will probably be like, no, I don't want a little more money to go play for one of the worst teams in the league in the Giants. Like, Minnesota is interesting, but, you know, they have a first-round rookie there, so who knows. But ultimately, yeah, I mean, would it impact the Eagles if Stafford ended up on the Giants? Like, yeah, maybe they win by 10 instead of, you know, 18 or 20. But I don't think Stafford going to the Giants would be the one to worry about. Minnesota would be interesting, but I also think until Minnesota wins a playoff game, we probably have to stop being worried about them.
Well, and it also could knock the Rams down a peg, right? Unless they find a good replacement. Yeah. So that could help the Eagles. All right, Elliot, we appreciate you hopping on, and I'm sure we'll talk again this week with you out in Indianapolis. Thank you.
Have a good one, man.
There he goes, Elliot Shore Park. So Elliot has Milton Williams at the top of
his
board.
That's interesting, but I can see that because Elliot's looking at it like, you know, pay the guy. But I look at it from more of a standpoint, and somebody who's been in an organization, but looking for ever more, I look at it as more of a standpoint of the quarterback's going to get paid more money this year. And you're going to have to try to strengthen your team, and you're going to have to try to pay other guys. So you have to try to figure out strategically how can you, you know, alleviate some of that cost. And you're not going to be able to pay everybody. And I would take advantage of the fruitful draft that we have. I look at it like this. You go draft one of them young cats with this defense that they're in that has already pass rushing ability. And just say, hey, man, go get the quarterback. Mm. And we'll teach you the defense as we go. We'll put you in on passing downs because we have a rotation anyway.
Right.
So we'll work you into the rotation. And you can learn as you go and then be that dominant guy that we need you to be at the end of the year.
Well,
that's kind of what Milton did.
And it took him, you know, Milton was drafted in 2021. This is the year he broke out. So it took him a little while to become the player that is now going to get probably $20-something million a year. So that's part of it, right? It's finding the next guy in the draft. And this is a really good defensive tackle draft. That makes a ton of sense. I just think about the Jeff Stoutland thing. Like, can't he find another guard? I'm going to spend, because these guys are, none of these guys are coming cheap. That's why we're kind of just picking two. All these players are going to make excess of double digit millions per year.
Yeah. I mean, you have to figure out what do you feel is an easier get? What alleviates some of the pressure that you're going to have on some of the moves that you want to make? And I feel like it's easier, especially when you talk about the abundance of D tackles. Let's not forget, we're drafting 32.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be easier to find one of those guys later in the draft with so many out there as opposed to trying to find a guard or somebody like that that's going to help us out immediately like the way that we want them to help us out.
Yeah, I don't think it's just as easy as like we can find – because I was in that mindset. But he's not just a guard, right? He's a former tackle, mm-hmm. can go back to tackle. Not that he wasn't good at tackle, but Jeff Stoutland seemed to have unlocked the ability that was already there. So you would need to find a guy with ability – who's kind of on the scrap heap and can eventually convert to a tackle. It's not just like get a guard. Like that would be Tyler Steen. And I think we saw a pretty good drop off from Becton to Tyler Steen.
Yeah, we did.
When he had to play. So like I think Jeff Stoutland is a mastermind, but it's not a 100% hit rate.
So that's fair. I also think with the offense, they're bringing back 10 of 11 starters anyway. The continuity is there. Like I'm trying to keep this defense together as much as I can. And when we start next season, if we're letting go two of these defenders, that's two. Nakobe probably won't be ready for the start of the season. Like, how many guys from the defense that was the best all year are going to be there. I don't want it to be four or five different names, because that's what, when they went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, and I know the defense wasn't quite as dominant, but I remember when we started the 2023 season, we were like, they have six or seven new starters and they stunk. I'm trying to keep as much of that together as I can. 215-592-9494.
You know what we also didn't figure out? If Elliot thinks he could score.
Oh, I forgot to ask, and that's on me. What does the Twitter poll think? Guessing they're not. You could text him.
It is. So I tagged him in it, so maybe he'll respond himself. But 88% say no.
Okay.
He couldn't. Now, somebody offered up the idea of maybe Jalen carrying him across the goal line.
That counts, right? Touchdown. As long as he crosses the goal line. I do think Elliot could score in the tush push.
I agree.
Could Elliot score a touchdown in the tush push?
No.
Even if he's pushed in, like his tush is pushed.
Anyway, Elliot go out there and get smushed. Elliot's a little soft.
I think he could sneak behind Landon in my lot.
I give you that, Danny. Yeah, he could do it. Fine.
Like maybe run under their legs or something.
Yeah. Run under their legs. He's a little guy.
I might be coming around to your side on this debate though today. If Elliot could score, then it really is a special play we can't lose. I mean, if Elliot can score, then
if anybody can do it, it's a special play.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. If the tush push is banned, is it a big deal? And pick two for the Eagles free agents here to bring back as the offseason is beginning. Howie's going to speak. Sirianni's going to speak today from Indianapolis. We will carry that live on WIP. So we have Becton, we have Bond, we have Williams, we have Sweat. You could bring two back. Who are they? Let's go to Terrence in Springfield. Hey, Terrence.
Terrence.
Dude, yo, Kyle, what's up, man? What's up?
What's up, Terrence?
Man? How you doing?
Man, I'm going to go for my guys. I'm going to go with Hugh. I'm going to go with Vaughn because he was arguably the top three linebacker all season in the NFL. And I'm going to go with Becton, too, man. He was like the missing piece to make that offensive line complete, man. They was dominant when he was in there. And like you said, Kyle, I think Kyle said it, Stoutland unlocked something in this guy, man. We know when he was with, I think he was with the Jets, it wasn't a fit for him. And I think when he came here, man, he was like unlocked all of his abilities. And as for the Eagles, man, I feel like it is a big deal if you don't have the Christmas. I feel like the NFL is trying to take something away. They're trying to put the Eagles at a disadvantage. And we all know when somebody wins a championship, the league tried to find something to nitpick about the team. And I feel like it's equivalent to, like, changing the NBA to the three-point line. Like, the Eagles are changing something in history in a sport that's huge. Like, when Jordan, changing the game for Jordan. Or I heard somebody say, like, for Iverson, like, with the hand-checking. This is huge for the NFL. And I feel like it's a punk ass move, man, for Green Bay, and I heard the Falcons. And I find it funny, all the teams that we've beaten we didn't beat Atlanta, but pretty much all the teams that we've beaten, they wanna try to ban this now. And I feel like Green Bay, they went to the principal and they told the Eagles, do you keep doing the tush push? And now all of a sudden it's a talked about subject. And I feel like it's gonna keep getting talked about, and by it keep being talked about, they're gonna try to find a way to ban this thing. And I feel like it's not fair to the Eagles, it's not fair to the organization. If a team's good at something, why punish them for it? Stop it. Like I saw the Buffalo Bills try to do it and they got stopped, right?
Yep.
They couldn't do it. Like if you can't do something as good as somebody but you're trying to mimic it, why punish a team for it?
Also, and Terrence, with that, like, you know, I know some people said, and Joe said this morning, it's not an aesthetically pleasing play. Yeah. I agree with that, right? But it's not run. If it was run 50 times a game, then if I was Roger Goodell, I would say, okay, wait a second. It's a TV product. It's not. It's run three times a game on average. Like, it's not. Yeah. I've never met anyone who says, you know what? That game was boring. They ran the tush push too many times.
And one more thing, though, like Kyle said, I feel like the NFL feels like if they take this away because it's an automatic first down most of the time, I feel like they're going to put us at a it's like this will put the Eagles at a disadvantage because this is a play that's part of our playbook that we execute to the max. And I feel like the NFL knows that. And I feel like we're the champions. And what they're going to try to do to the champions, they're going to try to knock them down a notch. They're going to try to take something away that they do great. And that's what we do great. And I feel like it's not fair. And I feel like, man, chill out with that, man. It's a punk stuff, man.
Enough of that, Terrence. Good phone call. It's
enough of that tomfoolery.
Yeah, but the problem is that once the tomfoolery starts, you know, Hugh, sometimes the tomfoolery doesn't stop. And now you got Raheem Morrison on this.
Yeah, I'm surprised at Coach a little bit.
You disappointed?
A little bit.
I mean, he's a defensive guy.
Yeah, he's a defensive guy, man. He's a little bit disappointed at Coach.
The problem now is every coach that gets to the podium over the next day or so, I don't know how they're all going
to
be asked, right? So, and now again, they're going to feel emboldened to say, well, yeah, I mean, the Packers might be right. Maybe it's not good for the NFL. So this is now a thing. Let's go to, is it Bina in Sicklerville?
Hi.
Hey, hello. Bina, what's up?
Well, first of all, Eagles greetings to you all.
Yes, and, greetings to you too.
Yeah, and you know, thanks for doing what you're doing. I'm homesick for these 2 days, but you guys keep me optimistic and, you know, look forward to something to listen to.
Well, thank you for listening.
Yeah, we appreciate you making us part of your day and hope you feel better here. So, Bina, what do you think on the tush push?
So, the tush push, this is a big topic because, is it because we win the Super Bowl because you're trying to bond at the tush push?
Yeah, I think it probably has something to do with that a little bit.
Right.
A little bit,
so,
little bit hate.
Is it, if we come up with another great play, are you going to try to bond it too?
Yeah, if they can't stop it, I would probably say yeah.
Right. Is it that, we come up with a good play, you're trying to stop it. Is it hurting somebody? Is it not hurting somebody? Why are we trying to stop it? I need a reason. Why are we trying to stop it?
Jealous. They can't do it. They can't be, like they say, you can't be us or see us.
Yeah, that's not a good enough reason, Bina. That doesn't work.
That's not a good enough reason. When do we worry about aesthetically pleasing? We don't worry about that. We worry about points. So I don't care if it's not aesthetically pleasing. I'm worried about points. So if it gets us the points that we need, then we want to keep it.
Absolutely. Now, Bina, we agree with you. Good phone call. So I don't care about aesthetically pleasing when we're talking about the Eagles. I think as a fan base, we don't care because we want the Eagles to score points. I do understand if the NFL thinks about that, right? Because they're trying to, it's a TV product. That's what the NFL is. I mean, a lot of people go to the games here, Hugh, and in every city people go to games, but I understand that the NFL, from Goodell's perspective, is a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
So if he thinks the play is boring on TV, then I understand why he may think, at some point we got to move off this. But again, it's only, on average, 3 times per game. That's not enough.
Yeah, and not only that, I look at it like this as well. Publicity is publicity, whether it's good or bad.
It's like the old, what was his name? Eric Bischoff. Any publicity is good publicity?
Yeah. And
controversy creates cash, this whole thing. Yeah,
yes.
Wrestling.
And the simple fact that this has been talked about as much as it's being talked about and it's been brought back is ridiculous. Somebody's creaming sour grapes. And I was about to say crepes. I was still in New Orleans. And it's just interesting to me that it's the Green Bay Packers, a team that you beat that ass twice, beat them twice, and they're complaining about it. It's the NFL, man, and it's about being innovative and creative. And that's exactly what the Eagles done. They just happened onto something that nobody can stop.
When was the last time you had a crepe?
I haven't had one in a while.
Yeah?
That's not my go-to. That's not my wheelhouse.
If you had a pick, would you have a savory crepe or a sweet crepe?
Oh, sweet. I definitely got to go with the sweet.
Yeah, I'm a sweet crepe guy, too, if I'm going to have a crepe. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. Oh, we got a lot to do here moving forward on the show. So 2 o'clock today, right around the time that the afternoon show takes over, we will have the Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni press conferences. We'll carry those in their entirety coming up for the afternoon show. They'll be right around the end of our show, beginning of their show. We'll have that Clearwater check-in. I got a trade idea for the Phillies. I think we need a right-handed bat to add to the outfield mix because it feels a little light there with Weston Wilson's injury. I'll give you that idea coming up. The tush push. Would it be a big deal for the Eagles, or do you think they'd be able to easily adjust? I think it's annoying, but I think they could easily adjust without it. Your calls on that. And, of course, the 2 free agents you want back the most, Bon, Becton, Williams, Sweat. Who would be your 2 of those 4? And how low can the Sixers go? We'll update you on that next. And a career loser with some thoughts on how to win. That's coming up. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.